Please welcome Sharon McManaman.
Basically, the subtitle for this is What I Did for Love, or rather, how What I Did for Money turned into What I Did for Love. Not what you think. I got this call from my sister on my cell phone a couple of months ago, several months ago in October. I'd just been in this car accident, not my car. And my sister says to me, Sharon, this next door neighbor of mine, friends of hers work for this cruise line or this thing, and they're looking for actors, and would you be interested? And I said, yeah, sure. I said, do you know this person? What's this deal? What's the setup? What is this job? And she didn't know. I said, well, here's my agent's number. Don't have her call me on my cell phone. But a few weeks later, I'm on set doing stand-in work, and my cell phone rings, and it's this woman with this really thick French accent calling from Miami, asking me if I'd like to be involved in this murder mystery in the Bahamas, and they'll pay me $2,000 for a week. So I'm thinking, okay, Bahamas, all expenses paid, $2,000, you know, things could be worse. I'd just gotten laid off from the day job, and the strike was still going on, and all that good stuff. And I keep getting these phone calls and emails and whatnot, and it's the whole job's sounding kind of sketchy. Finally, I find out it's not on a cruise ship. It's Club Med in the Bahamas. I'm going to pass around the brochure. I've got a little visual aids. What it was a forum for international murder mystery, French, say, roman noir novelists and the like. And the setup was that I was the murderer, that I was supposed to somehow be some kind of rich woman, and that was about it. I was going to get gun training from the guy who's the weapons guy, armory guy from VIP. I'm like, okay. This is sounding sketchier and sketchier as it goes along. Is there any script, any setup? Is there anything like, no, don't worry about that. So, so I start meeting with this guy. I start doing gun training out in the valley. I know how to use a 9mm gun now, a Beretta, various other instruments of death. And which was a great experience. And the next thing I know, I come back from Bali. That's another story. And I was home for 48 hours to do some more gun training before I headed out to the Bahamas. It's 2 days away. I've got no script. I've got nothing. I'm just learning how to use guns. I don't have a car. I've got no information. So I basically decided to let go, and okay, this is going to be all right, improv, I'll just roll with it. And I get to the Bahamas and to do this whole setup. I find out that I'm sharing a room with a strange man I've never met before. He was my other actor. He's the guy playing my boyfriend, Hauke Lanz from Berlin, and German Hauke. Yes, that was his real name. And this entire thing is being run by several French people, none of whom I could tell was the director of the piece. As far as I know, I'm just doing this murder mystery where, you know, you're in a room full of people, you shoot somebody, and everybody figures it out. Well, I get there. They're murder mystery writers. It's supposed to be. I get there, and they're telling me about the camera work that we're going to do, because we're also making a movie out of this whole thing at the same time. I'm SAG, and this is the kind of contract. Oh, okay. And it's basically, we have to pretend to be in this couple that didn't really exist. I've never met this man before. We have no background, no backstory, so we're making it up each night as we go along. And we're supposed to infiltrate this little forum that's going on, this murder mystery writers forum. And on this specific day, in the crowded dining hall, I will get up and shoot him. And we've got the guns being used. We started working with a .22 caliber from the Bahamian police. that was plugged at the end. I'm like, okay, that's great. Oh, it's not loud enough. No, 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 we need a bigger bang. So they borrow from, I don't know where, drug trafficking is a major trade in the Bahamas, real 38 Smith & Wesson, safety on the gun doesn't work. And there's children also at this little forum. But they like the sound that the boom made in the dining hall, because it had to be loud enough. And so this is a very stressful week. It's raining every day in the Bahamas. Everybody's kind of like a little bit of cabin fever. I'm spending all this time with this man I've never met before. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to run with this. I'm just going to go with this. And I decide part of our thing is to infiltrate, pretend we're part of this couple, and go where all the writers are going. So we go to these literary cafes where various murder writers are there talking about the tools of their trade. And some of them are from different countries. So there's a translator present for the various writers. And I noticed this man, this translator, Frenchman, perpetual cigarette in the mouth, of course, whose translations are much better than all the rest of the translators that are. And he had a really sexy voice. Not your typical French accent or anything like that. You couldn't even place what this guy's accent was, but there was just something about him that was just really compelling. I mean, I had a physical reaction to this person. And a little backstory. In my general love travail, shall we say, which some of you might know. generally speaking, I like to borrow the term from, I've heard in the gay community, of chicken hawk, I believe is the That's my usual MO. Yeah, I like the word, yeah. Well, that warranted a drink of water. This gentleman was no chicken. This was a full-grown, older man. Just how much older, I was yet to find out. But we do the murder mystery. Comes to Thursday night. I'm so nervous about this evening that I'm ready to puke. The woman who, it turns out, really is the director of the entire thing has just been berating us for days, telling us how bad we are, how the whole thing's going to be a failure, and that it's just, you know, she doesn't know what to do anymore. I'm feeling, you know, okay, great. Way to use positive reinforcement for your actors. Okay. Glad to be working with you again. Not. And we're doing this live performance while at the same time playing for the camera. It's not really, they're not really copacetic with each other. But it goes off pretty much without a hitch. Halka's squib didn't really go off the right time. I pumped a few bullets into him. But it, I ran off screaming into the night, and it caught everyone's attention, and then the whole rest of the forum went on. There was a moderator who interviewed the various writers, and they came up with the backstory of what had actually happened between us. And this guy who I had a crush on comes up to me afterwards and told me that, you know, you make a great lady killer. I can't approximate his accent. And I was just, oh my God, he noticed me. And I was just quivering and very excited about that moment. And relieved that the whole thing was done, went to bed. Next day, it's our last day in Columbus Isle. Finally, a chance to relax. No, we're working. We're doing background footage for this film. Okay, whatever. I finally go to the disco. There's a disco at the Club Med. I guess there's a disco at every Club Med. My roommate Halka would go out trolling every night to no avail, come back at 2 a.m. stumbling in drunk. And I was too worried about the whole piece to do that. But I finally decided it's the last night there. I gotta go. And so I went to the disco, all dressed up. And why is that? All dressed up, and he's there. And I felt like a 14-year-old schoolgirl. I was just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what if he asks me to dance? And he did. He asked me out onto the dance floor, and he was a really good dancer. I'd seen him the night before at the bar dancing with some of the rest of the ladies. And the man can actually, you know, for a straight white boy, he can move. And at first, I was just so nervous, and I was afraid I was going to trip over my feet. I sort of begged off, like, I don't really know how to dance. He said, you're a comedian, which is what they call actors. This is part of your training. You know, of course you know how to dance. And actually, I do. And so we went out and danced on the dance floor, and it was just one of those rare moments in your life where you really feel like, as corny as it sounds, that if there is a God or goddess or whatever out there, that the hand of God just touches you. And you feel that you look at somebody and it's just that connection, that spark. And it's just so big that you don't feel like your body can contain it. You're just quivering with what's happening to you. And anyway, we danced a few songs. Eminem, I don't know how, but we danced it to Eminem. That song that Michelle Dunn's in the video for, it was very bizarre. And we danced a few songs, and he thanked me for the dance. And I left. I went outside to get some air. I was sweating, and I was hot, and I was kind of a bit actually overwhelmed. A little more backstory. I started to see someone before I left for the first trip to Bali, and I thought this was in typical Sharon McMenamin fashion, that I was doing something to sabotage something that I thought had already started and was growing on its own. And I wasn't really trusting what was happening to me at that moment. I thought, you got to take a step back from this. So I go outside. I'm talking to Carol, a friend of mine from Club Med, and I had seen him, he had left, and he had gone up the path, and I thought, well, I'm not going to stay here anymore, I'm just going to go home and call it a night. And I'm heading up the path to go back to our cabin-like thing, and I meet him coming on the way back, and he's like, oh, I'm so glad I didn't miss you. I want to get your number and address in the States, and, you know, because a lot of people were exchanging addresses and phone numbers that night. To keep in touch. And I'm like, okay, great. And I'm writing the information out, and he thought it was a crime that I'd never been to Paris, that I'd never been to France. And we just start talking. I'd given him my email address. Sorry, a bit of dry mouth. Which, as some of you might know, it's a word in Irish, means freedom, and we just got to talking. And he says, this is ridiculous, let's go back and have a drink. So 3 hours later, we're talking, he walks me back to my room, he makes a pass, and I, 14-year-old schoolgirl, emerges again. I sort of fumble it, and I stumble with an explanation of how I can't do this right now. I've just started something with someone, but I really enjoyed, I really had a beautiful evening with you tonight. And I'd like to stay in touch. So we went back to our respective rooms. I didn't get a wink of sleep. I thought about him all night long, and the next morning at breakfast, we met again, and we talked, and we realized we'd be on the same plane, heading back to Miami, and a chance to spend a little more time together. So, great. We get to the little tiny little airport at Columbus Isle, and we look at the tickets, and I get my ticket because from the Club Med person. I actually didn't have my ticket yet. I'm the only one not on the flight with everybody else that I worked with, and most importantly, not with him. And I was just crushed, and we were talking to each other. I snuck around, there's really not much security there, to where the gate was, where they were going to be boarding the plane. It was all crowded with all the writers and journalists and other participants. And he just wanted to kiss me right then and there in front of everyone. And I was still just too, I'm going to call you when I get back. And we exchange other promises and pleasantries. And I had to go back because they were going to open up the gate. And I watched as he got onto the plane from the chain link fence. Watched while he boarded the plane and just stayed there for a while because I think there was something wrong and they were on the runway for what? And watched as his plane took off and thought about him the whole way back and came back to the States here Sunday, my birthday, December 10th, and long story short, broke up with the guy who I started to see before I left for Bali, and couldn't wait till I got home so I could try to figure out, well, what time is it in France right now? And decided, wait, I'll sleep on it, call the next morning. Turned out he had tried to call me a couple of days beforehand. We've been trying to reach each other. We start calling and emailing each other. I get an invitation from him to come out to visit him at his farmhouse in southwestern France for the New Year's holiday. So I did. I boarded a plane to a country I'd never been to spend a week with a man that I barely knew, that I'd only spent a few hours with in person, and just sort of, as Gerald touched on before, just let it go. I wasn't looking for love in the Bahamas. I wasn't looking for anything but trying to get through that ridiculous acting experience. And now I'm going to move to France come May 1st, because there's going to be a strike anyway. And I've gotten the tapes. The 2 hours each day kind of thing. We are writing and calling each other just like every other day. And he's told his kids about me. I don't know how I feel about that, but... No, it's good. I just feel, I'm like, oh, wow. But he doesn't know I'm telling all of you. Someday, maybe I'll tell them about that. But that's what I did for life.